Hey.
Come on now. And now it's time for off-season reviews. And now your host, Rod or Karen. Or both of them.
Hi, everybody out there in podcast premium land. This is our brand new series we doing. It's called Off-Season Review, where me and Roger are going to do some of our favorite shows, and we're going to get some people to talk about the shows who love the shows as much as we do. And I like The Biggest Loser. Roger could give a damn about The Biggest Loser, so that's why you will not hear his voice this time. But my girl Keisha hit me up on Facebook and said, I like The Biggest Losers too. So me and Keisha are going to talk to you about season 15 of The Biggest Loser called Second Chances. Say hi to everybody, Keisha.
Hey, everybody.
Say, how y'all doing out there? Yes. So we're going to do a recap of the season. For most of the time, and this is spoiled, so we're gonna go through the whole thing. So if you ain't watched the season or the finale, this is not the show for you. Watch it after you have finished completely watch the show, or either you don't give a damn and you just want to hear me and Keisha talk about some shit. Thank you. You know, we thank you for coming and checking us out too. This season is called Second Chances, and you know, you had Bob, Jillian, and Dovette. I think Bob was blue, Jillian was white, and Dovette was red, as far as the teams, right, before they went into individual people. What did you think about in the first season? The first episode, what did you think about them letting the trainers pick and decide their teams? Because that was a little different than they've done in the past.
I liked it. I felt like it was more, I guess the trainers were more invested in the people who were going to be on the show, because they really got to hear the stories and they chose who they wanted. And, yeah, so I liked it.
And I guess it was different because it was more personal per se.
Right.
Because like they actually was there and they heard their stories and you know, they got to really see the faces versus they don't really have a saying in them until they've already been decided. And I do hope that, I guess my perspective, I hope that's something that they decide to stick with.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think that put a little bit more touch, and it felt like they had more investment.
Yeah, definitely.
Into it this year. And to me, I think that made a difference. They had, after they did that, the trainers actually, you know, picked the top 15. And then after that, they brought them back to the ranch. And after they brought them back to the ranch, everybody, I guess, chose their top five, and they divided them up into the colors I was talking about before. Their first week at ranch, what do you think about, like, their first week of workout? Don't that look so brutal? They be throwing
it does.
Up.
It does.
It looks like it's
I would
a
be
beast.
Scared.
And you know, I think it's for a lot of them, it has to be a shocker to their bodies for the fact that for a lot of them, this is probably the most workout they've done in their lives. You know,
because
what a lot of people don't realize is that they literally work out like you do an 8-hour job. That's how they work out. They literally work out for 8 hours flat. That's how they lose the amount of weight in such a quick period of time, because they literally work out for 8 hours, and then a lot of times after the 8 hours, they'll rest, and then a lot of times some of them will do their workout before the workout, workout after the workout, all times of the day, all times of night, because it is a game, and the goal is to lose weight, but it's also, you know, you're doing it for money and things like that too, so a lot of them are pushing and striving, and also what they're afraid to realize that they're getting like the best of the best food. They literally get treated like athletes. I don't think people like this is the part people don't see, for the fact that all their food is organic. Like the average person can't afford that, you know, so that's why they can, you know, lose that weight and not be, you know, sick and malnourished and things like that. They actually have to take ice baths and things like that, like the football athletes, because you have like the acid in your body and things like that, because they're actually putting their body over a lot of pressure and things like that. So I just thought for that first workout, it looked like it was a beast.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I like it because, I mean, I don't know what your weight condition is. Mine is similar to the people on The Biggest Loser.
Okay.
So I'm not that active, so I could put myself in that position, like, holy crap, you know, I'm going from, like, nothing to, like you said, working out like it's your job.
Yeah.
You know?
And
you definitely.
And I know that it has to be a shock to your body. I know for me, I've struggled with my weight a lot. When I was a child, I actually weighed more as a child than I do right now. And it's just one of those things where I've always struggled with weight because I like food. And I think that's why I watch The Biggest Loser, because people fail to realize an addiction is an addiction regardless of what it is. And you can't tell people not to eat. I mean, you're not trying to be funny because you have to eat to function. So it's just one of those things where, especially in our society here in America, food revolves around everything. Happy, we eat. Sad, we eat. Depressed, we eat. Celebration, we eat. You know, it's something, especially, I'm down south. I don't know exactly where you're located at, but down south, funerals, it's a meal, you know. Wakes is a meal, you know. It's just constantly food around all the time, and so it's just one of those things where I had to learn how to, I guess, push my plate away. And I don't mean that in saying in a bad way, but I had to say, learn to myself, okay, I'm full, because I would see it, and I still have this problem today. It's something that I constantly struggle with. I see it and I'm like, but it's still there. You know, I can't speak for anybody else that, you know, may have the issue or the problem, but I'm like, okay, it's still there, so I guess I'll eat it. Versus saying that I'm full, it's okay, it's all right. You know, I don't like to see the food go to waste or to spoil, you know, so it's just one of those things where for me, I've just kind of, changed, cause watching the show has helped me, change my eating habits and things like that. And some of the stuff that they show on the show is actually good products. I wouldn't have thought about it, but that Yoplait yogurt that they show, that Greek yogurt, is delicious. And I never realized that, you know, cause I was like, whatever. But I actually started doing that Yoplait Greek yogurt that they do, the blended one. Even the other Greek yogurt, it's actually really, really, really good. And it's just one of those things where I've kind of changed my diet habit and things like that. And I've realized that it doesn't take a lot. A lot of times, just a simple walk or something like that, just to get your body active, makes a difference. So when I see them, I go, you know what? I can completely understand why they're passing out and throwing up and fainting. You got to call the doctors. They're calling their names. You be like, oh, Lord, somebody going to die on national television?
Right, right.
That's how you feel looking at them. You're like, oh, my God. Also, go ahead.
No, I feel the same way about you, the same way that you do. Like, for me, it's definitely an emotional eater and social, almost like drinking, you know, like, oh, it's there, I got to eat it. So, you know, it makes me think about how I eat and why I'm eating. Am I eating because I'm really hungry, or just because it's a bag of chips, I want it, and I want to demolish the whole thing?
Yes, yes, and that's something that I've struggled with, and I know for me personally, like I said, I'm down south, so we are eaters. That's what we did. We ate, and I think my mama and she ended up having to change the way she cooked, because we like pure country, you know, fatback hog maws, you know, deep fry, you know, and all that type of stuff. Everything in it was, just not, it's nothing wrong with eating that food, but you have to eat a lot of it in moderation. And it was like she was 2 pushing 3. And I was 100 pushing 200 pounds as a child. And they took her to the side. They was like, look, both of y'all gonna die. That's what they literally told her. They were like, you're pushing 3, she's pushing 2, both of y'all gonna die. You've got to change the way that you prepare your food, because she's eating what you're giving her. You know, because, you know, it was one of those things where they looked at her, they're like, she doesn't have any control, but you do. And so once they kind of got her mind frame, because the thing about it is, when it comes to eating, you have to change your mind about how you view food. Food is literally just fuel for your body to keep your body going. And it's just one of those things where, I know for me, it, like I say, I still have struggles today. It's hard to find a balance. Like yeah. you say, between, you know, and I have to get to the point where I ask myself that, am I eating because I'm literally hungry or am I eating because it's there? And if I have mm-hmm. to ask myself that question, I'm probably eating it because it's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so, what I realized is that I've even taken some of the, suggestions that they have, which I know the little, you know, the little things they have before the show, be like, hey, here's a little tip, or hey, here's a little tip. A lot of people, I ignore that stuff, but I kind of, especially more recently, started perking up my ears to, what they were talking about, because it's one of those things where I start to snack more, because when I snack more, I have a tendency to, you actually eat more food throughout the day, but it doesn't feel like it because they're in small portions.
Mm-hmm.
Versus me, I have a huge habit, which I've forced myself to break up skipping breakfast. But literally, when they say breakfast is the most important meal of the day, it literally is. Like, it will determine, how your day go, because I would skip breakfast, you know, wouldn't eat till like, you know, 1-2 in the afternoon. And by the time you eat then, you're starving. So by the time you eat right. then, you literally will eat, you know, the whole 20 pieces of chicken nuggets, you know. But mm-hmm. if you would have snacked, you know, like had a fiber bar, had a, you know, had a protein shake, you know, grab a few grapes, you know, or something like that kind of throughout the day. Okay. When 1 or 2 o'clock come, you know, you will eat a reasonable meal. And I don't mean reasonable in like a bad way, because everybody's, metabolism burns different. Everybody has different, you know, calorie count as far as, the burning weight. And something else I realized, you know what? I didn't know what the crap a calorie was. Am I the only one that didn't know what a calorie was? Every time about these calorie counts, I was like, what is y'all talking about? What is a calorie?
No, cause I still really don't know.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. What it is this. But this is my definition of calories. Mm-hmm. Your body is like a bank. And what happens is that you have a certain amount of money that needs to be in your bank account in order for it. This is just how I view calories, in order for it to function properly. And whenever you exercise, money goes out of the bank. Whenever you drink water, normally water has no calories, but normally mm-hmm. exercising is the thing that takes the money out of your bank account. When you eat, you put money into your bank account. And at the end of the day, you want to take out more than you put in. Because every
okay, that
time,
makes sense.
And because at first I was like, what the fuck is a calorie? Like, it made no sense to me.
Right.
But once I said it makes sense, because when people go, okay, let's say you have a calorie count of 200. You know, mm-hmm. for an average woman, your calorie count is 1500 to 2000 calories per day. Which means the amount of food you eat and your exercise should kind of balance out that, which means the amount that you put in and the amount that you take out should balance around that level. And that you actually would prefer it to be below that level, because if it's below that level, that actually means you're consuming less food and you're burning more fat, which in return causes you to lose weight.
Okay.
And the thing about it is that that's why a lot of times, like I say, they work out 8 hours a day, so everything that they're consuming, they're burning off.
Right.
And so that's how, you know, the average person can't lose 10 to 15 to 25 pounds in a week, because mm-mm. odds are you're not working 8 hours a day, 12 hours a day, like you're not burning everything that you eat. So for the average person, you should lose between 2 to 5 pounds in a week is reasonable. That's actually okay. good per week.
Right.
You know, and but a lot of people go, well, it's a slow, but you see, the thing is that when it comes to losing weight, inches turn into pounds. And that's something people fail to understand. First you lose inches, and then the inches will get on the scale to pounds. And once wow. and the thing about it, once you start looking at it like that, you won't be so hard on yourself about losing the weight. And that's something I had to realize. It's like, okay, what people fail to realize, whatever weight that you are right now, you did not get there overnight. They said the average adult gains 10 pounds a year. So you have to mm-hmm. think, within 3 years, you're liable to gain 30 pounds.
Yes.
4 years, 40 pounds. 5 years, 50 pounds. But you know what? In a year, that's 365 days. So what people fail to realize, you didn't put it on quickly, so it's not going to leave quickly.
Right, but we want it to leave quickly, and then we get frustrated in the process.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah, and I do believe that, and I think that people begin to get frustrated, especially when you're at home looking at The Biggest Loser. You're like, well, God, they did it so fast, they did it so quick. But what people fail to realize is that it is a slow process. But the thing about it is that you also want to do it in a healthy manner. I think some people get so obsessed with losing it so quickly that they take all these methods that are unorthodox that in the long run end up hurting their bodies. Taking all these supplements and all that stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that, because I know I take multivitamins and things like that. But it gets to the point where you want to lose the weight, but you want to lose it right and you want to lose it healthy. The biggest way to lose weight that I found out, which is what most people don't want to do, is drink water. Because water naturally curbs appetite. Just drinking, just pumping yourself full of water curbs appetite. And not only does it curb appetite, when you drink water, it flushes a lot of salt and sodium out your body that for most people is sodium for women, especially particularly, you retain weight because of that, especially in black women. Black women have a tendency to retain weight off of sodium. So whenever you drink water, you flush it out your system. Now, I ain't gonna lie, you're gonna be pissing like crazy, but you give it a few weeks, it'll balance itself out. Because if you don't drink a lot of water and all of a sudden you pump yourself full of water, you're pushing a lot of those toxins and stuff out of your system. Your skin will clear, your hair will grow. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people fail to realize that. Like literally a lot of things that your face won't pop out and break out as much and things like that. A lot of people have issues when a lot of times if you just drink water, it will clear it up on its own. The body is amazing and it functions very, very well, but you need to give it what it naturally needs in order for you to give it replenish what you're putting into it. Because when you start working out, I know, like for me, I go to the Y. I you know, just try to do little small things. I don't care if it's nothing but walk around from the kitchen to the den to the kitchen to the den. Even if you ain't got a whole lot of money, you can still work out. You can take milk jugs with handles and fill them with water, and you have weights.
True. Very true.
Like sometimes I think people think they have to spend all this money, but you don't have to be on a high budget in order to lose weight if you really are determined to do it. And something else I realized, you know what? So what you wouldn't there, you got a piece of cake. You know what? Tomorrow's a brand new day. I think sometimes when people feel like they slip and they quote unquote fall, that it's just all over. And the thing about it is this, I'm the type of person when I eat, if I see, let's say I see a cookie, I better eat the cookie when I see it. Because if I tell myself, no, I can't eat the cookie, I'm going to eat the whole box of cookie next time. Because that's just how I function, you know, and everybody's different. You know, sweets might not be your forte, but for me, it's like, okay, would you rather have, would you rather have a cookie for 150 calories for that cookie? Mm. Or would you rather have a whole box for 2,000 calories that you've just eaten? You know, that's a big thing to me. And it's just one of those things where I look at the show and I watch the show. And I know for me personally, I've learned so much about, you know, health and things like that just from the show. So I do thank you for coming over here and doing the show with me. I know in the first season on week one, David lost 38 pounds. Now, remember I was telling you, that's a lot of weight. 38 pounds? Wow.
That was insane.
Yeah, ain't that crazy?
Yeah.
You go, and it's one of those things where I'm sitting, I'm going, I wish I could lose 38 pounds in one cotton picking weight. Oh, you could. Man, if I lost 38 pounds in a week, you couldn't tell me nothing.
Yeah. I mean, if I lost that in a year, I mean, you couldn't tell me nothing. But for him to lose it in, like, a week, but like is this, unbelievable.
And the thing is this, that's more than a pound a day. And that, and the average person can't do that at home. You know what I'm saying? Like 38 pounds in a week, that's ridiculous. But if you lost that in a month, that's still more than a pound a day.
Right.
Which is a lot of weight. And what did you think about the Trainer Save this year? That was something new that they added.
I loved it. I loved it. And you tugged at your heartstrings because, no, most of the people that they chose, you wanted them to stay anyway. So I love it. I hope that they do that in the next season.
Yeah, I think that's going to make a big difference. And I enjoyed it, too. It was one of those things where I was like, you know what? I am really feeling this. This is right up my alley. And for the first episode, Julian, she ended up saving Craig.
Right.
Because what did you think about them having the red line? They did the red line a lot this year, didn't they?
They did. To me, I mean, I understood why, but the pressure, you know, I'd be sitting at home viewing like, oh my God, please don't dip below the line. So yeah, it added a little bit more tension to the show. But.
Yeah. Do you think it made it easier for the contestants? You know, you actually lost on your own merit versus this quote unquote voting you out.
You know, it's because instead of it being like some like arbitrary, like random thing that made you be kicked off the show, you know, you saw, okay, I'm below the line, so I'm next on the chopping block. So, you know,
yeah, and
I thought that was fair, but yeah, it was kind of stressful too.
Yeah, and it was stressful. Like I'm like you, I will be sitting there crossing my fingers,
mm-hmm.
and just watching it go deep, deep. And see, what would kill me is that the numbers would jump around. Like the numbers wouldn't be logical. It'd be like 85, 310, 150,
right.
550. You're like, who's putting these numbers? I was putting these numbers up here on the board? The fuck with me?
Yeah. And you notice, like, it was that way even in the finale, you know, the numbers were just kind of jumping around, bouncing around like, you know, crazy too.
And it wouldn't surprise me if it's programmed to do that. Like, you stand up there, they probably know how much you weigh, probably immediately, but they probably have it programmed to actually jump around like that just to give you them, you know, 15 seconds of staring at it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's mm-hmm. that was my conclusion to it. And I know for episode two, A Game of Chance, this was when they did their challenges. And in this particular week, Craig talked about his father. You remember when he was talking about his father and about the relationship with his father and how he had came for his father and things like that. What did you think about Craig's story?
I thought it was good, and then it made you see, like, okay, this is why, you know, he's fighting so hard, or this is why he's struggling with this. And, you know, I think we all have our own stories of why we're at the weight that we're at and why we're not where we want to be and things like that. So it made it even more personal.
Yeah, I think it did. I think that it actually showed you what their motivations are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that made a difference too. And this was when all of them went to go see the doctor, and they, you know, told them about where they were and their body fats, things like that. And Ruben was on there from American Idol, which I was shocked to see him on there, because I was looking.
Yeah.
At the beginning, everybody was walking. I was like, that look like Ruben.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've seen him. No, we didn't. We didn't see him when they were doing the selections, you know, because they kind of bounced in and out with a lot of people. So you really didn't see him. So I don't know if they they got him on there separately, you know what I'm saying? Like, and they kind of wanted to surprise us.
Right.
With him on there.
Right.
And he ended up having type 2 diabetes and didn't know it. A lot of them end up having
didn't
all kinds of issues and things like that. And the thing about what was black people called the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to that, and it's a lot of people walking around with it, and I think that's one thing. I know me personally, I have a sweet tooth, and because I have a sweet tooth, I have gotten to the point to where I do that sweet craving with natural stuff. Like, I try to do bananas, I try to do grapes, I try to do apples, I try to do yogurt, I try to mask the sugar. I'm still getting the sugar, but I'm getting it in other forms. Versus cookie cakes and pies and ice cream. Because the thing is that I know older people who literally can't have a piece of pie because it was sending their sugar through the roof. You know, and I don't want to be, you know, 65, 70, and 80 and can't even draw a pack of M&Ms. You know, so it was just one of those things where, for me personally, just to see that, and it kind of make me think about eating healthier, eating better.
Definitely, definitely, because we want to live, you know, to, like you said, 70, 80 years and be healthy, not be struggling. And I know for me, a big thing is like carbs.
Yeah.
I can't, bread, chips, crackers, anything, I will attack it.
Yeah.
No, that's my trigger right there.
And a lot of carbs, you know what, they turn into sugar. So I'm a sugar mm-hmm. girl. And so it was one of those things, potatoes, mash, I don't care how, if it's a potato, I don't care what way, shape, form you put it, I'm gonna eat it. And so it's just one of those things. But yeah, and even with bread, so what I've learned how to do is like, we do wheat bread. We try to do multi-grain mm-hmm. bread. Like, I purposely buy these things, like the wheat bread, multi-grain bread, even wheat and multi-grain buns for hamburgers and hot dogs and things like that. Even something as simple as, like, when we go out to eat and order, a lot of places at you now, why the wheat? So I always pick wheat. And it's just one of those things. So wheat ain't really that bad. It's actually a lot healthier for you. But it's just changing your mindset. And just making those things a habit is brushing your teeth. You know, it's not an easy task to make the changes, and it's a slow process. But I think once you make the little changes, you can enjoy food more. So that, you know, if we decide, hey, you know, let's go out and eat, you know, chicken wings and nachos and pizza tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know what I mean? It's not a big thing because I'm not eating that, you know, 5 out of 7 nights a week.
Right.
You know, and so I think for me, that makes a big difference too. And when you're talking about the carbs, yeah, the carbs is a big problem. And the thing is, like, I actually had to look up, like, what foods falls in the carbs. And, like, I can't, you know, some people go, well, they go no carbs. I don't go no carbs because I know I like carbs. So I just cut down on the amount that I consume. So when you get them, but you're not, you don't have tons of them into your system.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. But even like when I go out to eat, I love bread so much. Sometimes I have to tell them, don't bring the bread basket near me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, keep it away. Cause I don't know. There's just something about it. That's my trigger. Like bread, girl, bread and potatoes. Yeah.
Well then, honey, you ain't alone. Me and you and some of these folks out there listening, we all on the same page.
That's the truth.
And that's the thing. Well, a lot of people think that they're struggling alone. A lot of times, whatever struggle you go through with food, baby, you're not struggling alone. We all are struggling and trying to do the best thing. And the thing I realize is that a lot of times we get so focused on our own lives that we don't realize that sometimes how much our weight affects other people and how we interact with other people in our lives. Because a lot of times other people are dependent on you because you're mom, your father, your sister, your cousin, your aunt, and other people are looking at you and they want you to be around. And a lot of times, when people look at you, they love you for who you are. And no matter how big or small you are, they will always love you. But at the same time, they want you there for longevity. And I think sometimes we get so focused and so wrapped up in our own world that we don't realize that we do affect other people even with weight. And a lot of times it's hard for people to perceive that sometimes. But that's a true factor. And sometimes you need to do it for you, but a lot, but sometimes you need to do it for other people. If nothing else, being able to go run and play hopscotch, being able to, you know, go and just be more active and things like that. It makes a difference. And you don't have to go out and run no marathon and no foolishness like that. And I mean, I ain't trying to say that, but you know, just simple things, I think will make a big difference. Cause even with my niece, she's small and she's skinny, but she constantly going and she keeps me going. So she runs and I run. And I think that makes a big difference.
It does. And what you said right there, it's so important to realize because you're right. You know, we do get wrapped up in our own selfishness. But, I mean, I don't have any kids, but I have 2 goddaughters. And they're 10 and going on 6. And, you know, they're active. And there were things I'd hurt myself and I wasn't able to do what I wanted to do. And, you know, like my dad and my mom are both really big encouragers for me. And my dad was like, and it hurt me when he told me this. He said, I need you to be around. And it got me out of my own head for, you know, a little bit. And it's like, okay, yeah, it's not just about me and my self-pity. You know, I got to get up. I got to get active. I need to do this so that I'm around.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's hard to give self-encouragement. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people fail to realize is that you have to look yourself in the mirror and love the skin that you're in. You have to look yourself in the mirror, no matter how big or small you are, say, I'm worth it. I am worth it. Look yourself in the mirror, especially when it comes to women, and say, I am beautiful. Every lump, every bump, every curve, everything that I think is out of place, it is perfect. And just know that you want to strive to make a better you. That's what losing weight is. It's striving to make a better you. And once you become comfortable and once you in your own skin, you will have your own determination, because at the end of the day, nobody can go down the road but you. Yes, you can have people encourage you. You can have people push you. But sometimes you have to run this race alone. And that's something that's very hard for people to comprehend, because they always want a cheerleading squad. They always want to say rah, rah, rah. But there are going to be times where you'll wake up and you want to go exercise and you call all your buddies and they don't want to go today. Do you sit at home, or do you go, you wrap yourself up, go on out there in that winter cold and run, because you know what you have to do for you. Like literally for you. Or either make your own home equipment. Cause even here we got a bike. Mm-hmm. So I ride the bike. I got a stepper. I be stepping on it, you know, in case, if I don't want to, you know, go to the Y for the day. And so it's just one of those things where, you have to get to the point where you don't defeat yourself before you get started, because I think a lot of times people get into self-loathing whenever it comes whenever they get to a certain amount of weight, because they just feel bad. But you know what? Every day you open your eyes is another day to get it right. And sometimes people don't look at it like that. Every day is another day to say, you know what? I can do this. I can make it. And you know what? I'm here to tell you, if you don't believe in you, baby, I believe in you. I 100% believe that you can do it. And sometimes, a lot of times people don't motivate one another. We live in society now where people are quick to tear down and quick to tell you how you're not worth anything and you're ugly and you're useless. Yeah. But you know what, baby, you're not. If anybody understands my voice, baby, you're not. You are worth it. You, whatever, put like this, if you got, and you can I know sometimes on the show they do this, they'll go and they'll buy like an outfit, whatever size that you want to be it a 6, be it a 12, be it a 14, however small you want to get, go out there and buy that outfit. Buy it. And hold on to it and work out until you get to that size. And every time every time you look at it, it's a motivator. Mm-hmm. I can't get into it now, but one day. I can't get into it now, but one day, because you will know that it's worth it. Go into the place that you never thought you could be, the place where they quote unquote the skinny girls be, or the skinny guys be, and pick out that size. Whatever size that is, pick it out. Say, this is what I want. I like this. This is what I want, and purchase it. Motivate yourself. Yeah. And I think that you have to have self-motivation. And like you say, it's one of those things where you need to be around for other people, because other people really and truly are depending on you more than you think.
Definitely more than you think.
More than you think. And also in episode 2, this is when they had the dice and they were rolling the dice. I don't know if you remember this episode.
Trying to.
Yeah, because this is like because we're going like all the way back where they had like a big old dice and they had their faces on the dice and they rolled the dice. And I think Tanya was up for the red team. I think Bob chose Hap, and Jillian chose Ferlanda. I'm probably mispronouncing her name.
Yeah, that's cool.
And she ended up going home because she only lost 2 pounds. And so 2 weeks in a row, the white team lost one person. Poor Jillian. You know what? Last time her team goes down fast, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't understand that.
Her team go down in flames. You'd be like, mm-hmm. what is happening, Jillian?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because she's so dedicated. And I mean, even the stuff she does outside of The Biggest Loser, you know, just working with people, and I don't understand it, but you're right. It always seems like hers is dwindles down the first.
Yes, you know, because everybody had five, next thing you know, everybody's got four, and she'll have two, mm-hmm. or she'll have one.
Right.
I'm like, oh, dang.
But yeah, she, I don't get it.
Yeah, she's just as dedicated as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
In episode 3, called The Auction, this is when they purchased equipment. You remember how they went and they bid it with the dollars?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For the equipment. And Matt was telling us how he put off his wedding. What do you think about that?
Hey, if that's what it takes, do it. I don't know how his wife or, you know, fiance felt, but to me, if that's what it takes, you got to do it.
Yeah, yeah, and I think the thing about it, he was feeling bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was more than anything. He just felt really, really bad, you know, about it and things like that. And in his mind, he was like, well, I left my fiance. But I think they ended up having a phone conversation, and she motivated him to stay. She was like, you know, stay, don't give up and things like that. And so I'm glad he did stay.
Yeah, definitely.
And also
it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
I think that's the biggest thing. It really is. For those that own the show, it is. And I think for a lot of jobs, they end up giving them a short-term disability. That's
how I always wondered about that.
That's how a lot of people can leave work because, mm-hmm. you know, it's fitness. You know,
yeah.
so you can literally write that off. So for a lot of jobs, they hold your position and they give you short-term mm-hmm. disability. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then you figure, you know, once you get to your goal, you're saving them money.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
You know?
and short-term disability is not a lot of money for those folks out there. It ain't a whole lot. Mm-mm, mm-mm,
okay.
No, you ain't going to be rolling in the dough of a short-term disability. I promise you that. It's not your regular paycheck.
Gotcha.
And also in this episode, Tanya talked about her abuse with her mother doing drugs. She was talking to Devette.
Yeah, that just broke my heart.
Didn't it, dog? Because it was one of those things where you know, I understood what she was talking about mm-hmm. for the fact as a child when, you know, you see other people see people not doing the right things and they just... You know, in her mind, she felt like she was worth saving and nobody would come to save her. And it mm-hmm. was just one of those things where, and also for a lot of people, a lot of the things that they go through like this or similar to this, a lot of sadness and just life in general makes a lot of people go and turn to food. And this is one mm-hmm. of those things where food becomes your friend because it's one of the few things in life that can't hurt you.
Right. Right, and even in your own mind, you feel like even though you're out of control, you can still control what you eat. Maybe you're eating way too much, or you know, but still feel like, okay, this is mine.
Yes, and I can control this. I can dictate this right mm-hmm. here, even though my life might be out of control. But this right mm-hmm. here, I feel like I have control of. When in reality, you don't, but you feel in control, and that makes people feel more comfortable with the consumption mm-hmm. of that food.
And
then at the end of the episode, which is ironic, she ended up being up for elimination. He ended up saving her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, wow, what a ton of... And after that, I could see Tanya's mind change. Like, she was like, he saved me. I was worth saving. You know, mm-hmm. and then I was like, she might be around for a while because because her weight was so low. I was like, well, I don't know, Tanya, but she was like, I was worth it. And he felt like I was worth it. So her mindset began to change. So a lot of times you can see them breaking through. You can see them growing and it makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. It does. It was inspiring to see. I mean, I know she didn't stay for a very long time, but like you said, even after that point where she had been saved, she was like, okay, there's some hope and I can do this.
Yeah, there is some hope that, you know, and for a lot of people, that's all they need is hope. If you give people the hope that there is a change, I think that they are willing to stick with it and stick through the process, because it's not easy to go through the process. But a lot of times you can't be focused on the process. A lot of times you need to look at the end results, like what are the results that I want, and that's motivation. For a lot of people to push through whatever they're feeling, you know, because you're going to have your up days and your down days. But to me, it's just it's completely 100% worth it.
Right. Right. And to go back to something you had said a couple minutes ago, you know, especially now with the social media and stuff, we can be so cruel to each other.
Yes.
We put up these defenses and, you know, we just say, OK, I'm just going to live in my shell, self-medicate the way I choose to and just leave me alone. But then there are people out there who care about you, who truly care.
Yes.
And once you see that, you're like, okay, I'm not hopeless.
No, you're not.
So I really liked what you had said earlier about the whole, like, just how mean we can be in social media and in general to each other now. And we feel like we're safe to be mean, and we get those defenses put up.
Yes, you do. And it's just one of those things where, especially on social media, especially when it comes to women, I know this dude's going to listen to this too, but particularly for women, is the world is very cruel, because unless you are like, you know, 120 pounds and below, you know, you're considered a fat and overweight. And, you know, it's one of those things where, and a lot of times nowadays, regardless of the color of skin, and black women have a tendency to weigh more than white women just because of our chemical makeup. It has nothing to do with that. So a 5'2" white woman could be 105 pounds. They'd be within the scale. But a 5'2" black woman is 135 pounds or 140 pounds is considered out of the weight range, when technically there's nothing wrong with her.
But even now, you know, we're being cruel to each other as black women, and, like, you know, black men towards black women. Like, if you don't look like the video girl, you know, then you're not cute.
And I've come to this conclusion. A lot of people are concerned about people that don't want them. And once you wrap your mind around that, it's easier and back to becoming more comfortable in your own skin. And I know for a lot of people, it's hard when, you read the comments and things like that, but you have to get to the point where you have to ignore people, like literally ignore them. Because at the end of the day, if those people met you in real life, they would probably try to hook up with you. I think a lot of people, I call it internet courage. A lot of times on the internet, that people act big and bad and all that stuff, when behind the scenes, they want to DMing you and all that foolishness too. So it's just one of those things where a lot of times that's just talk. Almost trying to be big and bad in front of their friends. But the thing is, like, if you don't want me, baby, I'm not worried about you. And you literally, especially women, being single women, you've got to have your mind focused on, if you don't want me, I can't worry about you. I can't change your mind. Just like you have your taste, I have my taste. I might not want you. Have you ever considered that?
Yeah, it's true.
You know,
it is true.
And that's kind of how I view it. And it's one of those things where you literally have got to love the skin that you're in. And until you love the skin that you're in, a lot of people, constantly men and women, have insecurities that come up when people say things, because they're not comfortable in their own skin.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that what you said is a mouthful. It's the truth. And once we learn that, I think we'll all be better off.
Yeah. And it's a learning process. And I am comfortable in my skin, but every day you begin to be more comfortable and more comfortable and more comfortable and more comfortable, to the point to where things don't bother you as much, and you can kind of ignore people because you go, well, I'm not worried about you. Your words, the words that I see on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Google+, that's not affecting my everyday life. That's not affecting me. Once I turn this computer off and go do something else, those words don't affect me. I mean, like, you literally have to, because some people consume themselves so much into social media and what they say about body image and things like that, that they don't get beyond that. And even when they turn stuff off, their mind still ticks. You have to separate yourself from that.
Definitely.
or else you drive yourself crazy. And baby, mm-hmm. it ain't worth it. And a lot of people that go back to the food thing turn to food because they go, well, they don't want me. They thinking this, they thinking that. Well, at the end of the day, they posted that pic and gone about their business. They ain't thought twice about you.
You know, that's the truth.
But people, but people don't consider that. Like they, mm-hmm. they didn't even, they don't know who you are other than a Twitter profile and a pic. Them people don't know you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They are on to the next one.
Oh, whatever else the next one is, that's what they've twatted. That's what they, you know, going on to. And so you have to think, you have to remember that the picture is bigger than that. And, for episode 4 was the, trick or treat. This is when they had the pumpkins in the pumpkin patch.
Okay, yeah, I remember that one.
And they were looking for the gold, I think it was like a gold card or something that was like in the pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
And they plucked that one out, and I forgot, somebody got immunity, but at the end of this episode, Ruben ended up leaving.
Yeah,
Ruben leaves, but on episode 5, called The Cook-Off, come to find out, Jillian was giving her team like caffeine pills or something like that.
Right.
And what they ended up doing was they ended up bringing Ruben back because she did that. And a lot of people were saying that they think it was staged to keep Ruben on longer. I don't know. Like people were saying that they think because Ruben got kicked off so early and, you know, he's quote unquote the superstar, you know, because everybody else is normal people, but he's the superstar.
Right.
So some people were saying that they think that Jillian may have purposely did that to bring him back on and to keep him on longer. I don't know what to think about that one.
Right. Do you think, like, there wasn't, I mean, you know, there was the initial shock of what she was doing, but do you think that it affected the rest of the show?
No, not really. I know that might sound mean or cruel, but I don't really think it is. And mm-hmm. you know, it was just one of those things where I don't know what to believe about the Ruben thing, but it's just one of those things where I don't think it affected one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I was glad he came back. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh yeah. And plus his relationship with Dolvet, I think I'm saying his name right.
Yes.
That was just really sweet. I loved it.
Yes, they have a very unique relationship. So and it was one of those things where I'm like, wow, because it was I think they ended up going to like one of his producer's house and singing one of the persona and stuff like that, which is really really cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed that. And then episode 5, this is when the kid ambassadors came back.
Yeah.
And they were preparing food, and one thing about it is that Bingo is like, I don't like vegetables. So he was like, whatever you do, but see, I like anything, so I'm not really picky. But he's like right. The average children. So I think the blue team ended up winning because they was like, hey, we got to hide it. So they chopped it up really, really small, ended up tricking him, and ended up winning the challenge. I was like, smart. That's what I do.
It is.
That's mm-hmm. what I do. I'm even with, if you want to do oats, I know a lot of times when I make breadcrumbs, make my own breadcrumb from scratch when I use all my spices, that's what I do. I grind oats. You know, you can grind all kinds of things in there to kind of cover the taste and trick people into it's actually healthier than it actually really is.
Right.
And then, and then also in this episode, what was ironic, Jillian ended up saving Craig, but Craig ended up going home this episode.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. And I think it was one of those things where it was like, well, she saved him, but he still ended up going home.
Right.
Oh, black on black crime.
It's a shame, girl.
It's a shame. It should be like this. And in episode 6, Remember Who You Are, just like I said, this is when Ruben came back and Bob uses his last save.
Mm-hmm.
Bob uses his save. And I think Matt was the one that was up for elimination. Yeah, and Bob ended up saving him. And I think he had wanted to use it on Chelsea. But he ended up using Matt, and I think that was a good choice because Chelsea ended up hanging around for a hot minute. She was holding her own.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She was like, I am not a weak punk.
I didn't think she would last as long as she did.
That, you know, I believe that too. I didn't think she would last as long as she did. I'm surprised Tanya lasted as long as she did because Tanya's weight fluctuated. So she would lose 1 pound, 2 pounds, mm-hmm. 3 pounds, 1 pound. You was like, I'm looking at her like, what is she? You, come on. You and two of me are the only sisters on the show. Come on now. I was like, you gotta do better than this.
Yeah.
And that's why I kept looking at her like, oh my gosh, come on now, you gotta do better than this. And I think the week after this was the Thanksgiving episode, where all the family came. I don't think anybody got eliminated on Thanksgiving week, did they?
I don't think so.
No, they didn't. Thanksgiving, where everybody came and they got to visit their family and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. I think Thanksgiving, when it's this time of the year, they don't ever eliminate anybody. So that right there is kind of the quote unquote heartwarming thing. You know, we'll keep everybody around another week. Oh, just to turn around and get to this week, be like, you know what, you got to go. and what do you think about when they do like the last minute workouts?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, it's necessary, but I feel like it's the pressure. I just put myself in that position, like the pressure. I don't know.
Yeah, she said a pressure. That pressure get real though, don't it?
It does. It does. And that's where I put myself in their position, like, okay, what if I've been doing kind of coasting or whatever, and then boom, you know, last minute workout, I was like, I would probably be crying, having a fit, acting a fool, I don't know.
She's acting a fool. but you know what, and it makes your heart skip, because I'd be just so invested, I'd be sitting on TV watching this scale, like saying, jump a million times, my heart be jumping and stuff too, and it was like, oh my gosh, this last minute workout, this, I don't know if my heart can take it. So Thanksgiving, y'all, nobody got eliminated, okay, that was a good thing. Episode 8, take home a trainer, this is when Jay took Jillian home with him.
Yeah.
Was he in Texas somewhere?
I feel like it was Texas or Oklahoma, somewhere out in the Midwest.
Wherever it was, but you know what? He loved that cowboy hat. I know that cowboy hat had to stink because he wore it all the time. He worked out, he sweated in it. I'm surprised he didn't sleep in that cowboy hat. I mean, I ain't knocking him, you know, because that was his thing, but he loved that cowboy hat.
Yeah. That cowboy hat was working. It really was.
That cowboy hat was working as hard as he was. I was like, oh my gosh, what's really, really happening here? And the thing about it is that I think they end up having something, and he ended up, spinning a thing on the board, and he ended up getting picked to take the trainer home. And everybody else was like, I don't want it, because the person that got picked ended up, their weight ended up representing the whole team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
a lot of pressure.
A whole lot of pressure. He wanted it because he was ready to go home. He was like, I want to go home. I was like, no, you don't want that. But he ended up coming back and by himself ended up outweighing, I think, I want to say both teams or some craziness like that.
Yeah, man, yeah. It was crazy. It was crazy what he was able to do.
Man, Jillian had him lifting hay, hopping fences. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, she making everything a gym. It was like I was looking at thing like, I wouldn't even have thought about making that workout. It was like she was using anything around them that she could put her hands on.
Yeah.
He was killing it. And I think only a person to train that could think about taking a bale of hay and making a flat workout out of it.
I know. But then it makes you think like, okay, what am I, like you said earlier, like what in my house can I use?
Yeah.
There's no excuse.
Yeah, you kind of have to be creative, wherever your creativity go, you know, because, you know, if you low on money, like I said, take you some milk jars, it's, and a lot of times, it's small things. You can, phone books, have weight to it. If, yeah. just, if you got a phone book back, you know, nowadays, I don't think too many people, I'm telling my age, you know, I don't think too many
right,
people.
Hey, I'm right there with you. I used to have them.
You know, too many people got phone books, but like this, if you can get your hand on one of them ancient phone, what we call phone books,
mm-hmm.
use that as a weight, you'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. And at the end of that weigh-in, I was like, I gave him credit. He killed it. And at the end of that, they ended up sending Ruben right back home.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, nah, they went through all that trouble to get him back on the show, to turn around mm-hmm. and send his butt right back home.
Go on.
I was like, all right now, what's really, you know, really going on? And the thing about, Ruby was that, for him to be so big, he wasn't losing a lot of weight.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that surprised me too, cause like you said, you know, when you're that big, you drop. But he wasn't. But then I was wondering, maybe, like, when you're diabetic, it's hard to lose weight.
That might be a possibility, too. Or either whatever the diets they had him on, they might not be conducive to, you know, because you have to modify things when you deal with diabetics, like modify things, you know, because of sugars and things like that. So I was wondering, well, maybe it might be something like that. That may have caused that, but yeah, he ended up coming back another week or two, and they shipped him back home. So he can go sing a little lighter. He, you know, good for him. And I know also in episode 9 was the work week. This was when they had like a trivia with all three teams, and the white team ended up losing, and they ended up having to work at a diner for a week.
Yeah,
I would not want that job.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
They was working hard, girl. They were working real hard.
Really hard. Mm-mm.
My heart went out to them, but you know what? They ended up killing it because they ended up tracking him the whole week, and I felt so bad because while everybody else was at the gym, they were showing them. They was like Monday, they would get up. They would literally show them getting up at the crack of dawn, going and working. Mm-hmm. Then they would show them coming back, and then Jillian would work with them half of the night because you know they probably still did 8 hours, so she probably worked with them half of the night.
Yeah,
they probably waking
up
and doing it all over again. And then they showed them, they had breaks. They showed Toomey, her face was all crushed up. Like every time they could lay down, they were sleeping and snoring. I was like, oh my God. I felt so bad. But the thing about it is that for the average person, that's probably the more logical route for most people losing weight. You're probably going to have to schedule it out. I know for me, it's easier for me a lot of times to work out in the morning. Like wake up in the morning. I know sometimes that's a sacrifice, but sometimes it's worth waking up an hour and a half early, working out. I don't care if you stretch and do yoga because you're already up, your metabolism's going, and then you don't, because as the day goes on, people get tired, they get sluggish, and they're less likely to work out. So for the average person, you're going to be like the people in the diner. So it has to be a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to say, okay, this is my schedule, my routine. Even if it's 30 minutes a day of just flat walking, just some form of exercise makes a big difference.
Yeah, burn some sort of calorie.
Yes. And I know, like I said, I think Jay and Maria end up losing 6 pounds. Toomey end up losing 9 pounds, so she's the one that end up putting them over. So the white team was safe from elimination, but the blue team was up. And so I think this was this another save? Hold on.
Was it Holly's week that she went? She left? Or no, maybe I'm a couple weeks mixed up.
Let me see. Oh, so Bobby. Yeah. Bobby had the lowest weight in the blue team. So Bobby ended up going home.
Okay.
So Bobby ended up going home that weekend. Yeah. And that shows you that you have to have some serious dedication, because that working life ain't no joke.
Mm-mm.
But for the average person, it might sound sad, but that's how most people end up losing dealing with the weight and the weight process is by trying to schedule within their 9 to 5 with the between their office work. You know, and a lot of people for the work, a lot of office buildings now have gyms in their office building. So if you could do something like that, work out doing your breaks, you know, like your 15-minute break, just walk around the building real quick. Just something to keep yourself active. It doesn't have to be like this whole theatrical thing, just something to kind of keep you going.
Right, right. Yeah, you're right. Just a little bit of movement a day, you know?
Yeah.
Just and those little breaks.
It makes a big difference. And in episode 10, down to singles, this is when they went singles. And I think this is when the game changed because it was no longer a group. Everybody became individuals. And once they became individuals, all I can say is Rachel was a beast. Like, like once they became individuals, she, her mind was set that I will lose weight every week.
Right.
Because they end up having a challenge when it was like, they, was holding these bars and I think they had like, was it, I think 20% of their weight was on the other end. And her and Jay was to the end and she ended up beating out Jay. And I was like, oh my, and I think it was like over an hour and some change. I know they want to die.
Right.
I was like, oh my gosh. She's a beast.
And that's, you know, that's when you saw that inner athlete that was inside of her. You know, you really saw that emerge.
Yeah, like never before.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing about Rachel, Rachel had begun to share how she used to be a swim, she used to swim. And how she was sharing a story about how she ended up giving it up for a boy and things like that and how it affected her so much and her relationship with her father. And I think as she began to lose the weight, you could just see the transformation. And it, like I said, it was just awesome to see her be a beast. Like, that's when you was like, y'all, I don't think she nothing to mess with.
Right, right.
It was like they went to singles and it was like, party was over.
Yeah, she did her thing.
Yeah, and I do give them I give Rachel kudos because she 20% of your weight, as Bessie, I forgot how much she initially started out with, but honey, 20% of what I weigh now is a whole hell of a lot of weight. I only think I only think I can hold 10%.
No, I couldn't. I'm thinking about what I weigh right now. I couldn't hold up 10% of it.
No, me either. And at the end of this episode, they didn't have an elimination. What happened was that Matt and Hap ended up going, they ended up having like a double elimination. So both of them like went underneath the red line and then they cut it back and then they kind of ended the episode. And then the next week it was episode 11 was Who Gets Back. And this is when they bought all the past contestants that had basically been eliminated back.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh snap, they're doing, I was like, they're doing double elimination. I was like, they is not playing. I was like, what's going on here? And they basically weighed everybody that hadn't been weighed yet. And Bobby ended up getting back on through that.
Yeah.
And the thing about Bobby barely worked out and lost and was losing weight left and right.
Right, right. That shocked me. It really did.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, what the crap is going on here? Because I was like, oh my gosh. And the thing about it is that Bobby ends up coming back. And I think, but prior to him coming back, it was an episode where he, I don't remember which one it was, where he had talked to Bob and he had came out by being gay. What do you think about that episode? And did Bob end up, I thought Bob was gay anyway, all jokes aside, even though he never said anything. I was like, that dude gay. But I never said anything.
That's how I always felt about him too, but I've always had a crush on him too. But I was like, nah, Bob ain't checking for me. Bob is not even interested in me.
He said, I'm not even on his radar.
yeah, but I thought that was nice. It was a nice, like, dignified way for him to do it too, you know?
Yeah.
So that was a nice moment.
And I think it helped Bobby feel more comfortable. And I think it helped Bobby feel able to go to his father and talk to his father and things like that. And I think that bond made them closer together. And also, it was one of those things where he might as well have came out.
Yeah. Hello, yeah.
You know, and to me, it doesn't make a difference. He's still one of the most favorite trainers. My I like mm-hmm. chocolate, so me, I'm team Dove all day, you know.
Oh, yes.
You know. And
you can't resist that smile anyway.
Ain't that smile, and you know, and I think with him, I think that smile is just so beautiful. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. You know what? And the thing about it, I think a lot of people, them white women love them some Dove.
Yes.
That chocolate man, you know, but I just, and Bob is cute too, but it's just one of those things mm-hmm. where, like I said, it's just something about the vet smile. Oh God, honey.
Right.
it does some things to you.
Hey girl, I agree.
It really does.
Yep.
And that
Govette was a good addition.
You know what? Yes, because I think what happened was that Jillian, I think, ended up adopting some children and took some time off for a few seasons. And mm-hmm. I think it was one season they had four trainers. And then I think two of them didn't return, which is good because I end up liking Govette anyway. So they might have been doing that to test to see which ones they wanted to keep. I think that, Dovette, I think in one season it was Dovette and Bob, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Once, okay, that's what happened. Jillian was gone like two seasons. And so,
yes,
last season was her first season back, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, last season mm-hmm. was her first season back. And so, so now they have three trainers, and I like adding him. I think it allows them to divide the teams up more evenly, and I mm-hmm. think that each one of them has their own different unique style.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I end up liking it. And at the end of this season, Tumi ended up going home.
Right.
Because her and Tanya fell below. And I think this is one of the first times they actually voted, because prior to this, I don't think they voted.
Uh-uh.
If I'm not mistaken. So they actually voted.
Yeah.
And which, you know, and it makes sense to send Tumi home because most people didn't look at Tanya as a competitor. They knew she lost uh-huh. weight, but she didn't lose enough weight to really make a difference.
Right.
So so they ended up sending Tumi home. And
mm-hmm.
and then the next episode, this is when they went to the Winter Olympics. Every time they travel, everybody's weights be so screwed up.
Yeah. And I wonder why that is, but you're right, like in seasons past, like whenever they travel, it's just like womp, you know,
and
it doesn't work out for them.
And I think several things. I think just for the stress of traveling.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
True.
And then they're outside in a normal environment. And they're with athletes. And a lot of these athletes, the way that they eat, their meals are prepared for their sports, and sometimes mm-hmm. that's not prepared the same as it is for you trying to lose weight. Like and depending on the athlete, sometimes they prepare foods for them to gain weight. You know, mm-hmm. like depending on what they're doing, they might design the things a certain way. And I think they're mm-hmm. they're at their normal areas. They probably mm-hmm. not eating the same, you know, organic foods, and so everything is like crazy and upside down. So I think that I personally think that has a lot to do with why they always do that. Because I kept saying every time they do that, somebody ends up with their weight all screwed up. And the thing, and Rachel, back to Rachel again. Rachel was a beast, because Rachel was in there with Chelsea, and her and Chelsea was talking, and a lot of people didn't pay no attention. Rachel mm-hmm. cooked her meal for the whole week before they left.
Oh.
Because her and they had a clip of her and Chelsea talking. And she was like, look, we out of our normal environment. She was like, I already cooked my meals. And she had like a little lunchbox. And she went in her lunchbox.
Right.
And I was like, Rachel ain't playing. That's all I was like. I was like, Rachel gonna lose some weight, because she was pulling out her chicken. She was saying the night before they left, she said she prepared all her meals.
That is right.
But that's smart though, because she was figuring out. She was like, the food's not gonna be the same. That was her thing. She was like, no. She was like, I can't. She was like, I really don't want my weight to be all over the place. But that's smart though. And I think she ended up losing like the most amount of weight, which was like 6 or 7 pounds. I was like, oh my mm-hmm. God, she's a. That's when I was like, you know what? Y'all mess around. Y'all better keep your eye on that chick.
That's right.
I was like, cause mm-hmm. she came to win.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because I saw that, but I didn't see it. And now that you're bringing it up, I'm like, she really did. She made all her food. She was ready.
She was ready, and she was not planning it. And what happened, and then that this week, let's see, who got put out? I want to say Jay ended up getting put out this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, Jay, because I think Jay ended up gaining weight, and I think Bobby ended up at zero.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, Bobby ended up weight not changing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay ended up gaining, I think it was 1 or 2 pounds.
Okay.
And so that's how Jay ended up going on. But yeah, Rachel was a beast. Rachel's been the beast all season long, like all season long.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just kind of as we kind of recapping the season. I'm kind of, because I never paid it any attention, but now I'm going, yeah, Rachel did do that. Rachel did do that. Rachel did do that. And like Rachel been a beast. And when that, it's like when they broke the singles, that's when she began to be about that business.
Yeah. She did a lot of stuff under the radar. You know, not sneaky, but you know, you could just see it kick in, like, okay, yeah, I got this. And
yeah.
She did.
And you could see her confidence slowly building, because I didn't pay that any attention either, but I kept saying, I thought to myself, she cooked my meal for the whole week. I was like, she was not playing. She literally prepared her meals, because she was, and I remember her telling Chelsea, we traveling. Yeah. She was like, I can't deal with the stress. She was like, I'm making my own meals. I was like, oh, Chelsea.
Yeah.
I was like, Rachel ain't playing. And then after that was everybody's favorite week, week number 13, makeup week.
Yeah.
And so everybody, got redone up for makeup week, and, it was a fun ride, and they looked so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when you're talking about Rachel. Yeah, Rachel, at this week, I think she was literally at her targeted weight.
Mm-hmm.
Like she, I think at makeup week, she was literally at her targeted weight. Like, in
my
opinion.
Yeah.
I think that weight right there, her weight was distributed perfectly, because I think she was like a size 6 or 8, and she looked gorgeous.
Her arms look good, you know, like she had muscle and stuff
and
like
tone,
that.
And she literally had a body of an athlete.
Yeah, because it was inside of her all along. I think at that point, like, to me, she was done.
Yeah, and I, that's when I was like, well, Rachel ain't gonna make it past this point. And I wouldn't mean that in a bad way, but I was like, because a lot of times in this season past, once people get to their targeted weight, it's hard for them to lose weight beyond a certain point.
Right.
It's like, okay, I'm at my targeted weight. They might drop off a pound or two or three, but you ain't gonna get them 6, 7, 8 pounds. You know, for a woman, a lot of times once you get this far, it's like 6, 7, 8 pounds for women. You know, men are still dropping off double digits, you know, depending on their size. But for women, you know, you get that 5, 6, 7, 8 pounds. That's a lot of weight for a woman.
That is.
And so it was one of the things where you go, wow, like everybody looked, Tanya looked beautiful. Everybody looked beautiful. And, what was his name? David? I want to say David.
Yeah.
David looked like a whole different person.
They cut
his beard off, and he walked over there and was talking to Allison. I kept saying, who was that man? I was like, oh my God. I didn't even recognize him.
Yeah.
Without his facial hair, he looked so good. And, oh crap, what is her name? One of them got their hair dyed blonde, and she looked good.
Oh, I see her. Oh God. Which one was it?
I can't think of her name. Watch, I'm a feel bad. It's go. Was it Jennifer? No, it's not Jennifer. No. It wasn't Jennifer. You remember what I'm talking about? It's the one with the glasses.
Oh, the one with the glasses.
But you know what I'm talking about?
I see her. I'm trying to get to that page. Was her name Heidi or something?
Or something like that. But I think there was something around there. But, cause she was freaking out, because they wanted to cut her hair. I was like, honey, let them cut your hair. Come at it like a brand new person. And she looked like $1 million.
Yeah.
She did. She looked like $1 million. And at the end of this episode, they had a double elimination. So I think her, Heidi, and Tanya ended up going home.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of this episode.
Okay.
And then, season before the finale, which is season 14, One Last Chance. And at this one, this is when they had their first ever triathlon. What did you think about that?
Loved it. Loved it. And then again, you know, Rachel came in, man, she just blew everybody away.
Yeah.
Like that quiet confidence, man.
Yeah, I think Rachel came to win. I think as the time went on, but the thing about Rachel made sure, A, she never dropped below the line. She never dropped below the line, like, period. Mm-hmm. Like, she was like, I'm not dropping below this line, because I know if I do, I'm going home. Like, if they got a vote on it, they're sending me home. And she knew that. Mm-hmm. So she was like, it's a lot of pressure, but I think she embraced it. Like, she was like, okay, I got to deal with this, bring it on. And I applaud her for having that frame of mind, and she didn't crumble.
Right.
And at the end of the triathlon, whoever won automatically made it to the finals. So she automatically made it. Everybody else had to weigh in to get there. And I think her, Bobby, and David were in the three finalists.
Yes.
And what did you think about, not the winner, but what did you think about the take-home prize? You know, because Toomey ended up winning that.
I'm shocked that Toomey ended up winning it.
Because
I thought, the first girl who was like the leader when they started weighing everybody, like the contestants who went home, I thought she was going to end up winning. I don't know, just something about her, but like Toomey was undeniable when she was talking about like her dedication, how she took up running and really, really loved it. And you could see, like, once she had taken off, like, the fancy clothes and had on her workout gear to get weighed.
You could see how small, like, wow. You could see how much weight she had lost. Like, she She had lost a lot of weight. And I was like, oh, my gosh, she's so small. And I was like, you know what? She deserved it.
Yeah.
I was like, she deserved it. And after everybody weighed in and they got to the final people, when Bobby walked out, I was like, oh my God. Because Bobby looked like a brand new person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was like, he is so skinny.
And you remember where he was when they first started and just see his body transform.
Yeah, and then when they do the things like side by side, and you know, when they come out, and you can see the difference. You're like, oh my gosh, what is really going on here? So that actually looked, Bobby looked good. David lost weight, but David didn't lose as much weight as Bobby did. So I knew David was not going to win. And all jokes aside, when Rachel walked out, I was like, Rachel's going to win because... And I was like, I was looking at her like, she got to be like 110 pounds. I was like, because she looked so small. Mm-hmm. And I think she ended up being like 105 pounds.
105, yeah.
And she ended up winning. And a lot of, which she was well deserved. And I think a lot of people were angry because they was like, she looked sick. She looked anorexic.
You know, she looked like a professional, like, runner. She looked like a runner.
And she did. She did. She looked like a runner. Like I said, I think where she was at Makeover Week was actually perfect in for her size. I think she kind of went beyond that because it's one of those things where she was like, I think her mind was, I'm in it to win it.
Yeah.
So, and I think, and even then she was still, then she was like 30, 40 then, if she was that big.
So.
Yeah, and she ended up breaking all the way down to 105. You know,
and I think that competitive spirit inside of her, like you said, you know, really drove her. Like, I gotta win this.
I think it drove her. I think it drove her. And did you hear the joke? Bobby was asking. Allison asked Bobby. She was like, have you been thinking about the other contestants? She was like, yes. He was like, yes, I've been thinking about the other contestants. I've been thinking about Rachel so much. You would think she gonna mess around and make me straight.
I didn't hear that. That's funny. Bobby was funny.
Yes, and I started dying laughing. I was like, oh, we got jokes. But his thing was like he was constantly thinking about them. And it was just one of those things where I think this season was a fun season. What are you looking forward to next season?
Oh, yeah. I hope hope they like have the trainer say, I hope too. That all three trainers come back.
I do too.
I liked a lot of things that they did this year, this season.
I do too. It was fun and it was enjoyable. And for those of you out there that are listening, me and Keisha, we will be back at the end of season 15. Because I have had a blast, and I know I got me a buddy that watches now.
Yes, we have to take notes and compare notes throughout the season.
You know what, that's what I do. I take notes, and I was going to have like a recap, so I was kind of going through their recap. But next time I would take more notes and things like that, because like I said, there's certain things that I seen at the time and caught but didn't write it down. So that's what I'm going to do next time. Next time when I'm watching, I'm kind of going to, write episodes and jot it down and things like that. Because it was fun to go episode by episode, because when you do that, you kind of get a better picture of everything, and especially since we're doing this once at the end of the season. So when actually does season 16 come out? Let me actually find out right now.
Okay,
I know it got to be coming out soon, because that turnover rate ain't no joke now, unless it's one of them breaks where it don't start back to August. Because periodically they'll do that with they have like a few months break, and then next time you turn around, you're like, y'all back already?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So I guess it varies. It varies a lot because, and it should be, it starts, let me see, casting calls. That's the casting calls. I don't know if they've actually let it out. Said who when the next season starts. Cause I'm looking online. I don't see anything right now. But as soon as I find out when the next season starts, you know we'll be hitting each other up. But most likely, and it probably sometime later on in the spring. Cause like I said, it varies. Sometimes it starts like in May, and then go through the summer, and then sometimes it starts in the fall. And, ending about now. So, I'm assuming sometime over the course of the summer, it should be back. But as soon as we find out, the season though, we'll be back. And I thank you, Keisha. And I thank everybody that has come to listen to the first episode of Off Season Review. We got some more of these coming out. And honey, let me know if there are any other shows you watch. I don't mind talking about TV shows with you.
All right. This sounds really good.
Yes. And I thank you. So we thank you, everybody out there in Black Guy Who Tips Nation, all the premium people, and all the Biggest Loser lovers. And if you don't like the Biggest Loser or didn't know anything about it, I hope you listened and got motivated and learned how to love yourself more, and know that people are, they're dependent on you to be around and to be alive. So I thank you, everybody, and I thank you, Keisha, and everybody out there in the Black Guy Who Tips Nation. Have a good one. Thank you.